Now, cancer is a word that more than any other can strike fear into the strongest of people. But I'm joined now by someone who knows from the experience of someone close to him that it is possible to overcome that fear. Irene Yarrow, who lived in Great Birstead, is believed to have been the longest survivor in the UK of recurrent bowel cancer, living with the illness for 12 years before passing away last year. And her husband John has written a book telling Irene's story, which he hopes will inspire others. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Alan.
And also joined by Keith Overall, who helped John with the book. Morning, Keith.
Good morning, Alan.
Now, John, we'll talk about Irene's illness in a moment. Tell us first just a little bit about her background, though, and how you met. Irene grew up in the East End, that's right?
She did indeed, yes. She actually grew up in Forest Gates in East London. She was a very articulate young lady, actually. She was very positive, apart from, obviously, I thought she was very attractive, which she was. That's what basically attracted me to her. I mean, she's just a lovely lady.
And you met in 1972?
Yes, near enough, yes.
Was it love at first sight, would you say?
For me, it was, yes.
So you got married shortly after, and you were living in Wanstead when you had your daughter, Elise. Then you decided to move to Great Birstead.
Yes, that's correct.
How did that come about?
Well, the reason was we didn't feel the schooling was terribly appropriate, really, sort of in that part of the world. So we made some inquiries in the actual Billericay area, and we thought that the schooling was better. And we fancied moving out to the country as well.
And you've stayed there till this day.
30 years, yes.
And Irene had quite a good social life, didn't she? Particularly at the church.
She did actually, yes. She had a very good social life as well before, but she did. She engrossed herself into many things. She was at the playgroup. She helped an awful lot out at the playgroup. She helped a little bit out at St Peter's Catholic Primary School. She had loads and loads of friends. She was a very liked young lady. I was a bit jealous at times how popular she was. I wasn't as popular.
And Keith, you knew Irene a little bit as well.
Yes, I met Irene in passing several times when I was younger, and she was always very kind to me, especially when my dad, who knew Irene, would bring me round of an evening after he did karate. And she was always very kind to me and would make drinks for me and things like that.
Now, John, moving on to Irene's illness, which, as I say, she had for several years. What were the first signs that something wasn't quite right?
She basically was getting pains in the lower abdomen area, basically, and just totally feeling terrible.
And this was when? This was about 2000, was it?
Correct. Yeah.
And so she obviously went to the GP.
That's right.
And it went from there, presumably.
And we got referred to a hospital, and then they did obviously the tests and all this sort of thing, and diagnosed with cancer.
But it was a type of cancer that actually there was quite a lot of hope that it was curable.
We were actually told that initially it was curable because it was they named it Duke's stage 2. Which is the type of bowel cancer that hasn't actually broken out to the... I think I'm correct. I'm not a medical person, but I believe this is correct. That hasn't actually broken through the bowel wall.
Right, OK. And Irene had an operation to remove the tumour.
That's correct.
And also she went on to have some chemotherapy as
That's
well.
That's correct, yes.
Right. And what was the chemotherapy like?
Absolutely terrible, but obviously, being as it's a life-saving factor, one puts up with it. But it's certainly not very good.
So the operation appeared to be successful.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
We had lots of hope. The main problem with Irene was that after the operation, the chemotherapy, and I believe she had some other drugs, didn't basically agree with her system. She was allergic to it, if one can be allergic to that sort of thing, and her bowel, etc., started to shut down.
It's often people's experience, isn't it, that chemotherapy and other treatments can really have some dreadful side effects and affect things. So she got pretty bad, not because of the cancer, but because of the treatment.
The treatment afterwards, yeah. We were actually told, I got a phone call about 1 o'clock in the morning to say, could I sort of get my daughter from university, because it's the likely chance that your wife won't make the morning.
And how old was Irene at this time?
She must have been probably about 50, probably about 53, 54.
So she was a young woman, relatively.
Quite young, yeah.
And this must have been a real shock after the sort of the roller coaster of being diagnosed with cancer, having the operation which was successful, and you must have sort of gone from a whole range of emotions to sort of thinking that, you know, that was it, and then to be told that she might not make it through.
That's correct. Yeah, it's just basically her willpower that pulled her through that.
So how long was she sort of, if I can put it, almost, you know, potentially at death's door? Did this go on for a few hours or longer than that?
I believe it was nearly a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
But she obviously did come through that.
Oh, yes, yes.
And presumably after that, life got back pretty much to normal, did it?
Yes, we went to our daughter's at university when she graduated, and that was, I think, the focus for her to recover. She had to be at my daughter's university.
Right. So that's a key point in your
exactly,
book, isn't
yeah,
it? Is
yeah.
is mind over matter and keeping a positive attitude.
So
she
targets,
had something
targets,
to focus on there, yeah. And whether in that case it was Elise's graduation, or
that's
it might
right.
be something else going on holiday,
exactly, yeah.
or just something to hope
it's a focus.
For. Focus. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so she was given the all clear, pretty much.
She was, I believe it was around about 2005, late 2005, 2006, she was given the 5-year all clear.
Right, right.
But unfortunately, she didn't have a scan.
Right.
So it was basically...
So what happened then? We're now in 2007, I think.
Yes, a couple of years later, we were in Italy, and she started complaining of back pains and feeling generally unwell. So we went to our GP, referred her to the hospital, and it turned out that the actual cancer had gone from her right side to her left side, unfortunately, which proved to be inoperable.
So were there other treatments available? Was chemotherapy available?
Yes, but as stated before, it did tend to upset her, so the actual doctor at the hospital said that being as it's basically inoperable, we're just going to give you basically 2 weeks of palliative care, which, as I said in the book, we weren't terribly happy with, because that's basically writing her off.
So that was pretty much it. That was pretty that, much
that,
giving
that
her...
That was, yes. That,
wow.
That's one of the only times I can actually remember my daughter crying. Pretty well upset all of us, but more so my daughter.
And what about Irene? How did Irene cope with being told that?
Well, it was quite strange, because she went, okay, we'll try something else, and that was it. She was so positive, because, as you know, palliative treatment is what they give people sort of towards the end. So, but she wouldn't write herself off, no way.
So she did go for treatment, and you went private at this stage, is
we
that right?
We did indeed, yes. We actually got in touch with Professor Neville Davidson, absolutely fantastic guy, and he decided to take Irene on with the basically giving us a lot of hope. So that evening, we felt quite elated.
So she did have some chemotherapy, did
yes,
she?
But
as well
it,
as drugs and radiotherapy, a whole range of treatments, presumably.
That's right. But he sort of juggled it so as not to upset her systems, because we didn't actually want another recurrence of the last bout of chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that in 2011 that the treatment for the cancer did have a pretty bad effect on Irene.
Yes, after trying so many different types of regimes, I think probably her body was getting rather tired of the chemotherapy, the radiotherapy, and all this sort of stuff. It was very traumatic for her.
And she had a blood clot.
That's correct, yeah. She had a stent inserted into her because one of her kidneys was packing up. Her one kidney had already packed up. The other kidney was starting to pack up. So to alleviate too much problems, they decided to put a stent in to widen the passageway. And unfortunately, that, we think, started a blood clot off, which proved quite dangerous because it was about 3-4 inches away from her heart, I believe. And that had to be treated first, and the cancer treatment was put on standby.
Right.
Which didn't help her situation one iota.
And then, sadly, a few months later, she did pass away.
She had basically two deadly problems to be sorted. Yeah.
So ultimately, was it the cancer that took her?
It was the cancer, obviously, but the her heart actually gave up. I think the strain of sort of nearly 13 years, 12 plus years of chemotherapy and all the other sort of toxins that she had to take, I think that didn't help her heart at all.
So this was last March, obviously.
March the 9th, yeah, last year.
Very, very difficult time.
Sure.
When Irene finally passed away. John, a year later you've written this book. Do stay and tell us why you wrote the book. I know that Keith has been involved with that as well. In particular, because I know that you really feel that it can help other people who are going through not just cancer, not just potentially a life-threatening illness, and cancer certainly doesn't have to be that, but I guess any sort of difficulty in life. Chatting with John Yarrow from Great Bursted about his new book, Inspirational Irene from the Heart. Also, Keith Overill, who helped John put the book together. The book tells the story of John's late wife and her battle over 12 years with bowel cancer. John, you were telling us before the break how Irene finally, sadly, passed away last March, Now, even though she eventually died, do you see it that she lost her fight with cancer? I mean, obviously, I suppose in one sense, yes, of course she did. But, you know, we talk about things like battle with cancer and lost the fight and these things in sort of a very negative way. Is that sort of the way you look at it?
I think, actually, that if it wasn't for the problems with her heart, I think she would have given it a fair bit extra time, yes. I think she could have continued a little bit longer, yeah. She was a very tough cookie, and I really believe that she could have continued, yeah. For how long, I don't know, but certainly maybe a few months, only God knows, so.
Now, you've written the book about Irene and about her illness to give hope and inspiration to other people. Obviously you want people to buy the book, but in just a sentence or two, what are the main things that you'd say to someone listening who maybe is facing up to the reality of perhaps a life-limiting illness, perhaps a terminal illness, or any other sort of life-changing life-changing challenge?
Well, I've actually got a quote in the book actually that says this book explains how through her bravery, courage and the belief in her treatments, how my wife Irene fought her cancer for so long. For all the people out there who are living with cancer and big men obviously been diagnosed with this disease in any form, don't give up, because Irene did not. And I hope that from this book you will glean some inspiration and courage to carry on your own cancer fights.
Now, Irene was obviously a very positive, very determined person. Do you think anybody can find strength in a time of adversity like that?
Most certainly. I think basically it's your mindset. You just have to have goals to look for. You have to believe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Just because someone may want to write you off, say, with your treatment, Don't believe that at all. You keep going. I mean, this is what Irene did, and she survived another 5 years. I mean, she was absolutely a fantastic person.
And as we were saying earlier, it's a case of having positive things to look forward to. In Irene's case, your daughter's graduation.
That's right, most certainly. Holidays, going out with the girls.
normal life, carrying on a normal life as much as possible.
Yeah, basically. You must never give up. There are plenty of support centres out there, mainly for me, Helen Rollison Cancer Charity, whose addresses are at the end of the book. I mean, they're an absolutely fantastic institution.
We'll talk about them in just a moment, but I want to talk a little bit about the book. Keith, what's your involvement in the book, in helping John to put the book together?
Well, my general involvement was trying to translate John's ideas and John's story onto the actual page and into something which will actually help people and will work and is very effective. Between us, we've come up with the idea of using Irene's life story, if you like, and how it can happen for anyone, and how we can and how hopefully we'll be able to help anyone in that situation. For example, choosing to use certain anecdotes from Irene's fight, for example, how she used to use different, try and create her own sort of dietary sort of help by using different sort of smoothies and things to try and help her fight and try to improve herself. Although, as we put in the book, we recommend that you seek medical sort of advice before you do something like that in case it has any adverse impacts.
Yeah, not go off on your own.
Exactly, but it's trying not to give up. I also helped sort of sort out certain things on the website, which we created as well, and helped design the front and back covers and try and just put it all together and translate the ideas.
I have to say, it's a self-published book here, and it it really is very professionally put together. It's an excellent piece of work. Just having a bit of a coughing fit there, talking too much. Now, you've got the book signing, as we've been saying, on the events guide next Saturday in the reading rooms. And all the money from the book is going to the Helen Rollison Cancer Charity, as you were saying, which was set up as a legacy to the much-loved local TV and radio sports personality. Local lady, of course, Helen was as well. Helen died in 1999. She was another one, wasn't she, John, who had an incredibly positive outlook on life?
That's correct. And the main reason, apart from obviously Helen Rollison herself, Professor Davidson is the chairman of the Helen Rollison Cancer Charity. He's the lifelong chairman now, I believe. And the Helen Rollison Cancer Charity is not government funded, so they basically rely on people donating money to them, basically to keep going. There's all the big charities on the TV, but not a lot of people hear of Helen Rollison, so this is basically why I've dedicated the monies for the book and everything else that goes with that to Helen Rollison.
And it's very much quite a locally focused charity as well, isn't it?
That's correct. Yes, they are very local. They have walk-in centres. They've got one in Springfield in Chelmsford, which is all in the back of the book. They also have one in Edmonton, which is North London, and Sawbridgeworth in Hertfordshire.
And as well as the support centres, they're also quite involved with new treatments and trials, aren't they?
That's right. They have their own teams trying to develop new strategies for, to cure cancer. So hopefully they will something will turn up in the very near future.
John, Keith, I think we need to leave it there, but thank you so much both for coming in this morning. If people can't get along next Saturday, John, they can come to you directly for a copy of the book, can't they?
That's right. They can get in touch with my website, actually.
And we've got the full details on our events guide, including, I think we've got a link to your website on there. I'll put them onto my show page a little bit later on.
Thank you.
As well. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in this morning and telling us something about someone who was obviously a very, very special lady. And I have to say, reading the book, it's a great tribute to her. The very best of luck with raising some money for the Helen Rollison Cancer Charity. You wanted to just read something from the book before you go, didn't you, John, which you thought
was
appropriate?
Yes, and I've got a couple of dedications, actually, to people that are actually going to help us out. If I may do those first.
Of course you may.
I'd just like to thank the HSBC branch, Donna Prince, who's the manager there, and the Brentwood HSBC branch, who are actually going to match the takings on the book day, which is absolutely fantastic. And also to a young lady called Jackie Topple, who's going to help us out with refreshments. And I've actually got a clown who's going to be outside to make animals out of balloons and all this sort of stuff. So hopefully it will be some sort of family day. There will be Helen Rollison pop-up shop inside. So anybody that would like to see them about any specific things that they would like to know about the charity, they'd be most welcome. They have leaflets there and all that sort of stuff, and staff will be actually on site for that. If I could just read just a little bit from the book here. It's basically about me. I personally think there are reasons why God has put us all on this earth, and mine was to love, marry, cherish and support this beautiful woman in her hour of need, and to be with her to the very end. It was an honour and a privilege to have known her, loved her and to be her husband. Now I'm left with a massive void in my life, but one has to carry on, and I devote all my attention to my only daughter, which is what Irene would have wanted me to do.